Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
My uncontrollable movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia, felt embarrassing. I felt like disconnecting. I asked my doctor about treating my TD and learned about Ingrezza, a prescription medicine clinically proven for reducing TD in adults. That's always one capsule, once daily, and number one prescribed. People taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds.
Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden behavior or mood changes, or suicidal thoughts. Don't take Ingrezza if allergic. Serious side effects may include allergic reactions like sudden, potentially fatal swelling and hives, sleepiness, the most common side effect, and heart rhythm problems. Know how Ingrezza affects you before operating a car or dangerous machinery. Report fever, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these might be life-threatening. Shaking, stiffness, drooling, and trouble with moving or balance may occur.
Take control by asking your doctor about Ingrezza.
Learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
It's going to take 15 years to clear the current hospital waiting lists. That's according to the Irish Hospital Consultants Association, who've called for urgent funding to address a backlog of 907,000 patients, a number which includes more than 100,000 children. For more on this, we're joined by Professor Tim Lynch, who's a consultant neurologist at the Mater Hospital and Dublin Neurological Institute. Tim, we have been told that Sláinte Care is going to resolve all of these things, that there is a revolution coming in the healthcare system. Nowhere in any of that did anybody mention that it would take a decade and a half for this revolution to have an effect.
Good morning, Anton. Yeah, I think that Sláinte Care probably is a good idea. And from a viewpoint of a waiting list, I always think it's a symptom of a problem that the system hasn't managed. And I don't think that's going to be easy to solve. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is we're all getting older, which is a good thing. We live longer. But with that, we get more disease. And in particular, in my area of neurology, we get neurodegenerative disease, and particularly Alzheimer's. And the figures there are perturbing. So one in three women get Alzheimer's, stroke, or Parkinson's in their lifetime, one in four men. And that's about 40% of the population age over 85. So the system will get overrun with that over time, and the hospitals won't be able to keep up with that demand unless we have a cultural change how we do healthcare and medicine in Ireland. I think the Sláinte Care is a good concept because the idea there is they're trying to move care out into the community and the patients managed closer to home so they don't end up joining the queue of the waiting list. The problem is how we implement that. And to my mind, that would be really key to that is that you've got to build that on a foundation of what I use the term an academic health science system model. In other words, that there's teaching, training, research, innovation is embedded into care of patients at all aspects of healthcare. So that's nursing, doctors, physiotherapists, speech therapists, occupational therapists, et cetera, et cetera. So that the reason for that is that we know that patients do better when they're managed or looked after in that model because we keep our edge and we keep up to date with new developments. But furthermore, what happens is that people have got better career options. And one of the problems we have here, and it was a significant problem with the waiting list, is retention and recruitment of good staff in healthcare in Ireland. And the problem is we keep losing them. However, if they had a career pathway and better terms and conditions, then you retain and recruit better staff. And over time, you'd build up the system so that in due course, the large level four academic major teaching hospitals will uplift the level twos and level threes, and you retain better staff. And over time, then you'll find better care. But in addition, your waiting list will drop off because you've got embedded into that the hospital linking out to the community, the GP practices, the community health organizations, and back. And you have shared appointments between the both. So it is actually a different model. It's how you should build Sláinte Care in it. It will probably solve the problem. But I think it's going to take a good number of years, frankly. That's sort of what I've described there is a 5, 10, 15, 20-year project. But you can't rush these things, and that's what we're going to have to do.
Can you explain one part of that, Tim, where you talk about the clarity of a career path for those in medicine? I would have thought that people would have assumed that medicine was one of those areas with a relatively structured career path, that you have the NCHD, SHO, Registrar, Consultant, stepping stones, and that people know once I get the foot on the bottom of the ladder, I know where the rest of this ladder goes. That's not the case.
Well, sort of, but it's not as well organized as you'd like it to be. Firstly, of course, when you're a junior doctor, I mean, my interns and SHOs, they change every 3 months. They move from one spot to the other. And that means they may change hospitals and may indeed change this town or city. And that's, from a social perspective, that's very difficult. They're trying to get rental houses, which is hard to get, and move, etc. So that's hard. Number one, they're rotated around the place. And number two is actually then after a certain period of time, there often isn't positions at the end. And we know that we lose a lot of people to abroad, whether nursing or doctors. So there's a wonderful photograph, which you may not have seen, of the Irish junior doctors on a beach in Perth. And there's over 300 doctors in this photograph on the beach in Perth last Christmas, because that's where the junior doctors are. Now, they all like going to Australia for a while, fair enough, but we could have a structured arrangement with that. We all have contacts. Most of us consultants have trained abroad with different experience, have significant contacts abroad, and we could have a structured rotation that, okay, somebody goes there for a year, learns a particular skill, brings it back, etc. And we haven't done that properly yet. So we've got to think this through, actually, that as we train people, that they bring their specialty expertise back to this country. We're a small country. From the viewpoint of development of new expertise, we're very good in clinical medicine and clinical nursing. That's well recognized. But the new science and new application of new science, we're not as good at that because we don't have a critical mass. And hence, people are rotating abroad for bringing learning expertise and bringing it back makes sense. But we should do it in a structured fashion so people can be very clear, okay, I'm going to do 5 years here and then I'm going to Australia for a year or two. I learn this skill and I come back. Yeah, that would work. And then people can plan their lives with better, but also you retain and recruit better staff over time.
Can I go back to the outline that you gave at the outset of the kind of driving forces that there will be in the waiting list problem over the next decade or so? Because does it mean that we focus too much on the acute and the emergency, that we tend to look at overcrowding in A&E, the lack of capacity to transfer people into beds within the acute system, difficulty in step-down facilities? You're saying that a lot of our long-term problem may come from just the maintenance and the management of people with systemic chronic illness?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there is the issue with the acute situation, and we've been trying to play catch up on that. But in many ways, we're like a little mouse there on the treadmill buzzing away. And the problem is, though, you've got to see what's coming down the track. What's on the horizon? And the horizon is that actually we are living longer and we've got these diseases coming. And the system will not be able to cope with it when they eventually hit it, if those numbers start, if they come true. So we need actually desperately as therapies that delay the onset of some of these disorders, even by 5 years, for the state to be able to manage that. So I think those chronic disorders will flood the system in due course. And indeed, if you're looking at the waiting list, well, if you're looking at outpatient waiting lists, many of those are chronic disorders, whether that my business will be, say, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, stroke, etc., or there may be diabetes, or there may be lung or heart disease. And those are building up on the outpatient waiting list. And some of the other waiting lists, which is the operating theatre, obviously more acute, etc. So it depends what you're talking about. But I think that chronic disease will flood the system in due course, and that us building bigger and bigger hospitals, yes, it makes sense, and having more A&E, yes, it makes sense. And yes, very much so, having, you know, outflow tracks for patients for rehab, that makes sense. But we're going to do something in addition to that, and that's actually how we set up Irish healthcare for the future, and we really have to think about that. I think slaughter care is a good concept, but how it's implemented is really key, and that needs some deep thought, and the way to do that, to my mind, actually, is built upon that academic health science system model. Why? Because internationally we see it's done elsewhere. It works elsewhere pretty well. John Hopkins is a good example of this. It's the same in Holland, also down in New Zealand, Canterbury, New Zealand. They've got a number of these units that are systems, healthcare systems, that are built upon that academic health science model. It works well. Patients do well. Staff retention, recruitment is better. It's logical, but it's going to take 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years to get there. But frankly, we're all interested in it. It is something that I've been working at quite a bit. In one of my roles as a chief academic officer of Ireland's hospital group, we put a significant proposal together with other the chief academic officer in Ireland. There are 7 of us to that effect, which is this is how we should do our shell care, building slaughter care on top of an academic health science system model. And to our mind, we think it's going to work because we see it working elsewhere.
Tim, thank you very much for taking the time to join us this morning. That's Professor Tim Lynch, consultant neurologist at the Mater Hospital and Dublin Neurological Institute. I'm joined as well by Roisin Shorthall, Social Democrats co-leader and spokesperson on health, and also one of the people who was on the ground floor of the original design of Sláinte Care. Roisin Shorthall, to some extent, does it suggest in what Tim is saying that Sláinte Care may address some of the chronic problems that have been in the health service for years and years and years, but it doesn't sufficiently address the problems that are coming down the track?
Good morning, Anton. I must say I'd agree with most of the points made by Tim there, and all our health service design and thinking has to be based on academic health science. And I don't think there's any conflict between what Tim was saying and the vision of Sláintecare. I mean, Sláintecare sets out the roadmap to bring our health service from the current very dysfunctional two-tier system to a universal healthcare system, like, you know, the kind of universal systems that exist in most other European countries. But the problem is that progress on implementing Sláintecare has been desperately slow. Now, obviously, that wasn't helped by the two-year hiatus of COVID. But notwithstanding that, you know, in the early days, progress was very slow. I think government and ministers didn't really believe that this was going to last. And we're now in a situation where there is a realisation that this is the way forward. There is no plan B.
But is there a realisation that it is going to take that long? Because essentially what Tim Lynch is saying there is that the doctors who need to come on stream as consultants and as registrars are the cohort that are currently sitting there leaving cert.
So, look, I think the question of recruitment and retention of staff is a massive issue, and it's affecting every aspect of the health service. And it's a kind of subset of what needs to happen to the health service, but it is a very dominant one. And we have huge problems right across all professions within the health service. And it's a kind of self-fulfilling challenge as well, because the more people leave through emigration, the more difficult it becomes for those who are left behind. So there needs to be a very significant intervention by government in relation to this. First of all, we need a proper workforce planning task force, because there is no overarching body who's looking at matching the demand for healthcare workers with the training places. That's the first thing. The second thing then is there's nobody actually dealing with the issues in relation to hospital doctors that are driving them away to Australia and Canada and places like that. There is extremely good research that has been done over recent years by, it's called the Hospital Doctor Retention and Motivation Project. It's headed up by Dr. Niamh Humphreys. And this is really, you know, detailed research that actually interviews doctors who have emigrated and asks them exactly why they've left. And there's a whole list of things there. Pay is an issue, but it doesn't come to the top of the list. But principally, what doctors are looking for is decent work-life balance. And that they haven't been able to achieve that in the Irish health system. And we know that non-consultant hospital doctors have, you know, been very vocal about this in recent weeks. They're talking about, you know, the ridiculous working hours that they have to put up with in breach of the EU working time directive. So they're working, you know, way beyond the 48 hours a week. There are delays in pay. There's errors being made in their pay. They are moving around every 6 months to different hospitals, and the implications of that are dreadful for the individual concerned, for housing. Many of them have families and all of that. And then the career structure that's there, where a lot of them, having, you know, got great results in their exams, done a huge amount of study, then find themselves in a situation in hospitals as junior doctors where they're really been treated very badly. And the hardest parts of that is the constant apologising that they have to do to patients for their failure to, you know, see the patients on time, for the failure of the system to see the patients on time, the long waiting lists and so on. And it's no wonder that these junior doctors go off to work in other countries where they have properly functioning health systems. So it is self-fulfilling, and we need to address those issues that drive doctors away, because at the moment, you know, nearly as many doctors are emigrating from Ireland as we're training, and one in three hospital doctors now are from other countries that we've had to recruit from other countries because our own trained doctors are going abroad. So that is a massive challenge, but it also applies, of course, to nurses and to therapists within the health service. I'd make another point, Anton, in relation to contract negotiations. There's to be a new contract for consultants. And, you know, the outline of that is quite attractive. There were negotiations on that last year. They stopped in December because the chair of the negotiations went to another job. They were left in abeyance for 6 months. So there is no sense of urgency on the part of the department to get this thing sorted.
Okay.
We have to recruit consultants. We have to make the career much more attractive for them, and we have to have a good contract in place. Now, that is down to government to do that, and we need to do that urgently.
Okay.
But also,
we have that point. Well, I'm sorry, time is against us,
okay,
so I don't want to move on to another area. Roisin Shortall, Social Democrats co-leader, spokesperson on health, thank you very much. And thanks as well to Professor Tim Lynch, consultant neurologist. Both of them there talking about the statement from the Irish Hospitals Consultants Association, who have said that in their estimation, it may take 15 years to clear the current hospital waiting lists.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
My uncontrollable movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia, felt embarrassing. I felt like disconnecting. I asked my doctor about treating my TD and learned about Ingrezza, a prescription medicine clinically proven for reducing TD in adults. That's always one capsule, once daily, and number one prescribed. People taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds.
Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden behavior or mood changes, or suicidal thoughts. Don't take Ingrezza if allergic. Serious side effects may include allergic reactions like sudden, potentially fatal swelling and hives, sleepiness, the most common side effect, and heart rhythm problems. Know how Ingrezza affects you before operating a car or dangerous machinery. Report fever, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these might be life-threatening. Shaking, stiffness, drooling, and trouble with moving or balance may occur.
Take control by asking your doctor about Ingrezza.
Learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.